You may be seated for a few moments. I'm going to do a little introductory remarks. Praise God. You know, we decided to come to Ohio this year because somebody sent me a thing that this is my graduating class's 50th reunion coming up. I know I look awful young to be graduated from high school for 50 years, but that's just the way it is. I don't know how it happened, and that's just the way it was. And then when they told me that, they could not give me the dates of when it was going to be. So that's great. And so I said, well, if you can't give me the dates, and I'll decide myself when to come. So we picked this time to come. That's why I'm here. What's the day we pick? Praise God. You know, when I first started preaching, I was using note cards. Hello? And then somebody said the other day to me, he said, oh, when you probably started preaching, they probably had a rock and a chisel, didn't you? Not quite that bad. But our pastor has these little fancy iPad things, you know what I mean? And all these newfangled preachers have an iPad. And I thought, well, hey, I need to get up with the times. So I need to get me one of them things like that. So I have a friend. You know, I always tell the kids, I know somebody. I know somebody. And if there's something I need, I know somebody. I can get it. So a friend of mine, I told him, I said, I need to get something like that. Can you help me out? And I said, I don't need to be an iPad like them fancy guys. At work, I use a tablet of some kind, so this tablet, can he make it work? So he got me one, the exact same one I have at work. The only thing I do at work is make labels for it. But this thing here, I can do all kinds of stuff. And I ain't figured out all the stuff I do with it yet, but I'm working on it. So this is the work in progress for me. Praise God. I'm so glad to be here today and be with you folks. It's good to be in the house of God, no matter where I am. That's an enjoyable time. How much is going to help me preach? Amen. If you help me, I won't be too long. How's that? That's a good incentive, isn't it? Can you do me a favor real quick? I need a couple of things. I need to have a chair over here. I need a chair over here. Don't get too excited. I'm not going to demonstrate the Trinity or anything like that to you, so you can relax. I need this one on this side over here. Praise God. We just came from our men's conference in May, and something the speaker said that I took to heart is Psalm 47:1. You can put that up there. Oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. All right? Yeah. All right? And what he brought out was this. If you clap your hands and you don't say, there's no noise. Hello? Let's do it again. Hear what it sounds like. You know what that sounds like? If that was golf, that means the guy just made a good putt. All right. Yeah. Hello? That's what they do. You ever watch a golf game? The guy makes a putt, they could just, you know, clap, you know. Good job. You made a good putt. And so we do good with getting the first part of that verse down. But there's a second part to it. After clap your hands, it says, shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. So if you're going to preach with me today and you decide to clap your hands, I want you to do the other part too. We need a clap and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph, because my God is mighty, my God is victorious, and my God has always triumphed. Praise God. I'm excited.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Now I'm going to give you my text. And we'll read a few verses of Scripture.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. Thank you. Everybody, Bob, give me a chance to get it. King got it. It's up on the screen. And that wonderful technology there. Praise God.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are.
Right.
All right? Now, John chapter 15, verse 16. One of my favorite verses of Scripture. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you should ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
Right.
I told your pastor this morning, he asked me if I was a reader. I said, I make myself read because I learned years ago that a leader is a reader. And I was someplace, I heard Brother Carlton Coon say this. He said that there are people that get paid millions of dollars to come up with campaign ideas and slogans for companies and stuff. So every time he's on a plane, he's always reading stuff to get an idea that he can use.
Right, sure.
And I thought, that's great. Why didn't I think of that? And so now whenever I get on a plane, I'm always looking for something to read that somebody did and so on. And I was on a plane a while back, and I saw this, and I thought, wow, I like this. And it said this. It said, you can write this down. You can use it later. It said, I would rather be a seed planter than a bean counter. I'd rather be a seed planter than a bean counter. And I thought, you know what? That's what happens. Some of the churches, the pastors, all they are is bean counters. They're counting how many people are here. When the Lord's calling us to be a seed planter.
Right, right.
Woo! Get a hold of that now. Now, if you're somebody that writes down the title of a message, and I hope you are, because I like titles. If a guy preaches doesn't have a title, he's already had some points off in my book right there. You know what I mean? You got to have a title. My title is this: things that are versus things that are not.
Right.
I want you to know I did not steal this from another preacher. I did not get this out of the book. This is one of those things that just, wow, why didn't I ever see this before?
Right.
Oh, my God, this is so simple. Oh, my goodness. But as we look at this today, everybody say, I'm chosen.
I'm chosen.
I'm chosen. You know, as I travel across our fellowship different times and have seen people, many times I see people in churches that for some reason they think the idea of humility is the head down.
Right.
They look like they're frumpy and dumpy and, you know, they got like sack dresses on that look like the Amish wouldn't even wear. You know, they said, oh man, down in the mouth, down, and it looks like they've heard the devil tell them they ain't no good, they ain't worth nothing, and so on. And they've listened to that so long, and they come into the house of God with so much low self-esteem.
Right.
Hello?
Yes.
Well, if you've ever heard that or been in the end of hearing that, you're in the right place today.
Yes.
Because I'm going to tell you, my God could take nothing. Take nothing and beat whatever the devil has. Praise God. It's time to lift your head up because you're now a king's kid. Praise God. And there used to be a Brother Griffey come here to church, wasn't there? Back in Toledo. I'm from originally from First Apostolic Church in Toledo, and I was born on Jackman Road, 3864 Jackman Road. And I remember during testimony service, Elder Brother Griffey would go down the row with a microphone and handing people the mic to testify. And every once I say, Brother Griffey, testify. And I still remember Brother Griffey saying, well, praise the Lord. Back in 1954, I found the Lord and he's been good to me. Oh, so good to me. He's been with me ever since. And every once in a while, I'll think back and I get blessed thinking the way he testified. And then one day it came to me.
Right.
Wait a minute. The Lord wasn't lost. We were. What do you mean you found the Lord? The Lord found you. I feel the Lord in this house today. Praise God. I want you to know something. As we look at this, I came to the conclusion. I like these chairs. I didn't bring my baseball bat today, but I was tempted to. I left it home. And the reason why I was going to bring my bat is because I've come to a conclusion. As we look to the Word of God, there are two teams. The one team over here is the things that are. Say, things that are. You know who's on the R team? Well, we read it in your hearing. The wise, the mighty, the noble. Those are the things that are called on this team. That's the devil's team. Now, who's on this team? This is the are not team. Are not. Who's on the are not team? People just like you and me. These are the opposite of those guys. Those are the wise. This is the foolish. These are the weak. These are the base and despised things of the world on this team. This is the are not team. Now ask them, who did God choose? Are not. That's who God chose. Oh, man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Woo. I tell you what, here's what you see. The God is gracious. And he gave the devil first pick. And you know, if you're picking up for teams, you want to have the first pick. You know why? Because if you have first pick, you pick the best there is out there. You pick the best players. And God's idea is you go ahead and pick the best you got. And when you get done, I'll take what's left over. And with the team I pick, it's going to beat your team every day of the week. Every day. Every day. And you know why it's so great that? Because when God uses the are not team, when he brings them in, they hit home runs. They don't say, oh, man, I did a great job. No, they give glory to God because they know where they came from. They know they're nothing. They know without God they couldn't do anything. That God used them and God blessed them. And so when everything happens, it's God be the glory. To God be the glory. And the devil sit back there and said, why didn't I pick that guy? And this guy said, because you looked at him and he wasn't any good. That's why. How can he be so good now? Oh, my God. He's done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. Praise God. So there's two people I find in the church. There are these dumpy, frumpy people. And there are some people that after a while, after they've been saved for a while, they forgot where God brought them from. They forget the pit they were delivered from. And they act as though that when they got saved, God got some kind of big prize when they got saved. You know, like the captain of the football team or the cheerleader in high school or something. They feel like, oh, man, I'm something. I'm somebody. God saved me because I'm something. No, the truth is God saved you because you are nothing. You see, every time I see someone go down the water to get a baptism, I get excited. You know why? Because I remember when I was baptized in Jesus' name, that God washed my sins away. Praise God. I get excited when it comes to an altar of repentance. And then you lift up the hands and receive that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because I remember I got the Holy Ghost. I don't want to ever get over being saved. When God saved me, I get excited and I remember when somewhere I had to pray somebody through and they begin to speak with other tongues, I get the Holy Ghost all over again. Hallelujah. And these people they're just so proud and glad that they're in the church and that God saved them. They're the ones that don't worship. You know why? Because they forget where God brought them from, and so they're nothing to be thankful for. But the truth is, God delivered them. God brought them in, and God did save them. And they need a revelation of today. God needs to take them back. Remember that pit I dug you from? You know where you came from? You know, someone said it like this. You're stuck with the relatives. You can pick your friends. Oh. If I was picking up a team that could play hockey, a hockey team, I would pick a guy that would at least know how to skate. Hopefully he didn't know how to handle a stick or handle a puck. Hello? But this ain't hockey. If I was picking up a softball and I played a little bit of softball and I picked up teams, I would pick a guy that knew how to play. The guy can hit a home run. A guy can catch. A guy can run. See, I picked somebody with talent. And if you've ever been on a playground and you've done this and picked up teams and so on, you pick the best players first until they get down to the scrawny, no talent, no ability group of bench warmers.
Right.
Someone that can't play the game. Finally gets down to the enemy and says, I don't want him. You can have him. He's no good.
Right.
And if it ends in an odd number, the other guy, well, you keep that guy. And this guy says, I'll take whoever comes next.
Uh-huh.
That's an R-not team. They're not here yet, but they're coming. They're not here yet, but they're coming. Whoever comes next, I'll take them. Oh, yeah. Now, here's what I want you to see. Now, you may be sitting and saying, man, you are so off base. You ain't got no Bible for that. Really? Do you think I dare come up with such foolishness as this without any Bible? How about in Genesis? Okay? I'll take you all the way back to the book of Genesis. The story of Abraham and Lot.
Right.
What? Huh? Remember that story?
Yes, sir.
All right. There's a situation with a herdsman of these two guys. They're in a little dispute. And Abraham, they look over here, and he says to Lot, he says, you pick. You go this way, I'll go that way. You pick the left, I'll go right. You pick right, I'll go left. Remember that? And Lot picked and chose the well-watered plains of Sodom.
Right.
Now, I've heard people get on Lot's case for doing that, so, you know, he should have gave Abraham that. You know, we're talking about teams now, and you're picking the best. And the truth is, if you were back then, you picked the same thing because that's the best pick.
Right.
That was the best pick. And so Abraham took what was left. Now, what happened? Abraham was blessed. Abraham was blessed. Because you know why? He was on our not team. Our not team. Where did God find him? God found him in a place, a bunch of idolatrous stuff, you know what I mean? And he called him out of that place. Come on out of there. I got a place for you on my team. What kind of team? It's an our not team. You know what the our not team is made of? The people are not supposed to be there. That's what it is. That's, people are not supposed to be there. The devil is not a creator. Hello? Since you understand that, you need to look at this. He has to take something that God has already made, and he'll use it. I want you to see something. The devil will use you and abuse you, and when he's done with you, he'll kick you to the curb like yesterday's trash. And God will come by and say, are you all done playing in the world? You want to come be on my team? I know you're not supposed to be on my team because the devil picked you and he used you for all these years. And you think you're all worthless. There's nothing you can do and you're all wore out. So what? There's still a place in my kingdom for you'd like to come on my appointment. And he'll come on over here. Come on over here. Praise God. He'll pick up that drug addict. He'll pick up that alcoholic. That one is in the gutter. And he'll pick him up and put him on his team. And he can be. Praise God for the Lord and that team. The truth is, God chooses not about what you are right now. But he chooses you of what you could be when you put God in the equation. He chooses you to be of nothing of value in the eyes of the world. But when you, God, is in the equation.
Right.
God takes a nobody and makes a somebody out of him.
Right.
To Peter he said, thou art, but thou shalt be. Rock, just a little pebble. And that's what he said, thou art.
Right.
But when he said, thou shalt be, you're going to be a strata of rock.
Right.
Praise God.
Yes.
When Jesus was here, Peter was vacillating back and forth. That's one of the big words for you right there. Wishy-washy. He was going back. He was stable.
Right.
But after he got the Holy Ghost, You didn't ever see him go be wishy-washy again. Praise God. He has now become a strata of rock, a pillar to the believers. I want you to see, we are not only born in this thing, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We were in an orphanage, and to be a part of God's family, God picked me to be a part of his family. God's not stuck with any of us. As Gentiles, we were strangers and pilgrims from the commonwealth of Israel. We were outside of the promises of God. But in mercy, he grafted us in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I am chosen by God. And if you don't like me, that's too bad, baby. I'm here because God chose me and put me here. If you like me, that's okay. You don't like me, it's okay because God chose me. And that's a whole lot better than you choosing me to be on your team. Brother Anthony Magan tells a story about adoption. I don't know if you ever heard this or not, but I remember things. You know what I mean? I just got this strange thing. But Brother Magan tells about a man and his wife adopted this girl. They bring her home from the orphanage, and she's getting settled into the house, and he pours her a glass of milk. He sets it down in front of her to drink. She doesn't drink it. Ever heard this story? She didn't say anything. Finally, he says, baby girl, you need to drink the milk. Milk's expensive. You need to drink the milk. She wouldn't drink it. Finally, he said, if you don't drink the milk, I'm going to give you a whipping. She burst into tears, and she said, you didn't say how deep to drink. You see, at the orphanage, they would give you a glass of milk and tell you how deep to drink, and you drink just that much, and you pass it on to the next kid. And he wrapped his arms around and said, oh, baby girl, you can drink as much as you want. And empty that glass, I'll fill it up again and again if you want. It doesn't matter. I got more. I'll empty the whole gallon of milk for you. Whatever you want, I got it for you. Right. What did I say that for? Because I'm trying to tell you tonight, there are some of you this morning that are living far below your privileges. The Lord has poured out your glass of milk, a blessing, and God says, here it is, drink. And you say, whoa, how deep can I get it? God said, you can have it all. You can have it all. I'll fill it up again and again. I'll bless you over and over again. I'll bless you over and over again. How much can you have? As much as you want. There is no shortage in the kingdom of God. I've been adopted in his family, and now I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. You might not have had two nickels to rub together when you came into the church, but you live for God, and God will bless you, and you'll get blessed beyond measure because now you're on an R-not team.
That's right.
An R-not team.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Huh.
When I was in Bible school, I know I don't look like an ABI man. I may not act like it, but I went to ABI. And one of these rare days, everything was a sunny day. My bill was paid, and it was a wonderful day. And I was walking down the street, going to get a pizza. You know, it's strange about a pizza. It comes in a square box, and the pizza's round. You have triangle pieces. Isn't that weird? I'm going to get a pizza. I was walking down the street, and as I walked down the street, this drunk was there. This is the middle of the afternoon. I never said a thing, but I thought to myself, how pathetic. This guy is drunk in the middle of the afternoon. That was the dumbest thing I could have done. Because I hadn't walked 10 steps, and the Lord just slapped me across the face and said, who do you think you are?
All right.
I said, what? Don't you remember where I brought you from? I said, what? But for the grace of God, there you go, brother. You didn't realize that if I had brought you and brought you out of sin and I had to save you, you could be just like that hopeless drunk you see right there. He needs to hear the gospel. Instead of walking by and said, oh, poor you. You need to go and give him the gospel of Jesus Christ. He needs to know what you know. Don't have your nose stuck in the air. Think you're better than he is. But for the grace of God, there you go. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, forgive me. So now when I see a lost soul, I don't judge or condemn them. I know that God loves them, and God's died for them, and God wants to save them. Now I am reminded, I know where my bread's buttered. Oh, praise God. I didn't come in the scene because I had a pedigree. I was a third generation Pentecost. If you are, Lord bless you. I wasn't born on a Pentecostal pew talking in tongues. I was a kid from the other side of the tracks, if you please. When I was in Bible quizzing, I was on the team And from the Tittle Church that we won the first time, the state of Maine finals, the state of Ohio finals in Bible quizzing. That's great. But for me to get on the team, I was a sixth person. And in quizzing, most of you know there's three starters and two subs. So sixth person ain't there. Hello? Oh, man. So they had a quiz off to find out if they get the sixth person on or who's going to be the sixth person, the fifth person, who did. I was this close to not making the team. So we had a quiz off. I did great. I won, right? No, I didn't. My score was minus 10. The other person was zero. Hello? Who do you put on the team? The guy with zero, guy with minus 10. If it was me, I'd have kept the zero. Why would you pick a guy minus 10? But my coach decided that he would rather have someone that tried and failed rather than have someone that sit there and do absolutely nothing. So he picked me. He picked me. I wasn't really supposed to be on that team, but he picked me to be on that team. And we won the state of Ohio finals because I got the last question and beat Cincinnati. Take that, Norm Pasley. I'm the kid from the other side of the tracks, and you're a preacher's kid. Hallelujah. Oh. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes God would rather have you speak what others may think is a lie, but it's really by faith, than to speak the truth in doubt. Hello?
Yes, sir.
What are you talking about? I got a bad knee. You need to say, I am healed. I am healed. I am healed. How can you say you're healed when you hurt? Because Romans 4:17 says, God called those things which be not as though they were. According to his word, I am already healed. I just need to claim the promise of God for my healing. And I'm on an R-not team. I'm just going to claim that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm trying to close. Here we go. When the general conference was in Toronto, Brother Cody, a friend of mine, was involved in Native American missionaries and had a church in Indian Island. And he asked me, and he couldn't go. He asked me if I would go in his place. So, all right. I was a little apprehensive. I'm a nobody. I'm not a pastor, a home mission director, nothing. I'm not any of that stuff. So I asked Brother Chavis, who was in charge of the Native American ministry, if I could go for Brother Cody, take his place. He said, well, I reckon. So I got up early on Sunday morning and walked to Western Harbor Castle. I couldn't figure out where to go. I went downstairs. I wasn't there. Couldn't find it. Then I went back up. I saw Brother Hennigan and Brother Hurst. Brother Hennigan's a home mission director in Washington. Brother Hurst is a home mission director in Maine. They said, come and go with us. A home mission breakfast. So that's where I want to go. Brother Haney was to speak at that breakfast. And we got there and had these tables. You know, kind of like tall tables and so on, just little things. And I come for breakfast. Oh. And then so we all sat around this little table, Brother Huntley, Brother Freeno, Brother Hurst, Brother Haney, again, and myself. And man, if we could make that table disappear, that's how small that thing was. And so it was a continental breakfast. You know what I'm saying? They had coffee and these little muffins about the size of a quarter and some fruit. And at first I thought, I got up early in the morning and walked all this way for this? Oh, my God, this is not, Lord, this is not the type of breakfast I was expecting. I was not expecting this kind of breakfast. The Lord just said, be patient. I said, yeah, I've got to be with this. Then Brother Haney walks in the room, and he comes up walking about, and he walked by me, and he reached out and shook my hand. And Brother Haney shook my hand. I felt as though I belonged in that place. Then Brother Haney talked to us and preached, and he said something in his preaching that I'll never forget. He said that when he was in Stockton, there was a time that he preached to an empty balcony as though it was full. And he kept doing that until one day the balcony was full. When I first said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Then it hit me. If you keep doing that, the things that are not, some days those things, those are not are coming in.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Uh-huh. There was a message in tongues and interpretation there that day, and the Lord spoke to us and said, The United Pentecostal Church is now ready for the coat of many colors, meaning that there now is going to be a multicultural revival. I want you to know something. God could do more with iron ox than the devil could do with the things that are. Could it be the next revival we have is are not people that are coming through our doors, the people that are not here? I can tell you the rest of the morning stories of people that I know that are not, that are now in the church. Hello? I met with someone yesterday named John Snyder from Toledo Church. When I was here in Toledo, he was my next door neighbor. I was living in the basement of someone's house. I was recovering from surgery from my hand. And he said, remember the first time we met? He asked me to throw a football. Oh, yeah. And I said, I remember the first time I got you to church. And here's the truth is, I asked him to church. He said, I'll come. And his mother said, I knocked his door. I said, where's John? Oh, he's in bed. He's sleeping. I said, he can't do that. She said, what do you mean? He told me he would come to church today, and I am not taking no for an answer. So I pushed by. I can't believe I did this. I really, to this day, I don't believe I did this, but I did this. I was young and crazy. I pushed her by. I ran up the stairs, went to his room. He was laying in bed. I woke him up. Hey, what are you doing? Sleeping, of course. What do you think? I said, you told me you'd be in church today. He goes, well, I have nothing to wear. You got some clothes. You get dressed. And he goes, I don't have a shirt to wear. You get dressed all but a shirt. I got a shirt at home and fit you. I went back next door, got a shirt, brought it back, said, put that on. You're coming to church. He came to church that Sunday morning. When the service was done, he was sitting in the center aisle with his hands up like this, talking in tongues. Good Catholic boy. Yeah. Never been to a Pentecostal church ever. Praise God. I said, that's an R not supposed to be there. R not supposed to be there. I can tell you, a guy made me mad one time. I know you find it hard to believe as patient and so on as I am, but a guy made me mad one time. In church, of all places. He told me, you ain't done nothing. You ain't done this. You ain't done that. I said, I didn't argue. I was so mad I could have punched him. My wife could tell you, I was mad. I was real mad. Here's what I did. Here's the craziest thing I did. I said, God, when I go home, I'm going to open up the telephone book, and I'm going to reach down and put my finger down to somebody's name, and I'm going to call that person, and I'm going to win that person to the Lord. Isn't that the craziest thing you ever heard? Right? Because I wanted to prove this guy that I could pick anybody out there anywhere. God, lead me to anybody out there, and I'll win them to the Lord. You think it's tough to win somebody to the Lord? You think I ain't done nothing? I'll show what I can do. God with me, we'll just go out and do that. Another thing I can't believe I did to this day, right? But here's what happened. We got home. When I come through the door, my answer machine was beeping. Beep, beep, beep. Played it. The lady on the phone said, Brother Bennett, this is Sister Lucy. God wanted me to call you and give you a name. Wow. Oh, my God. I wept. I said, oh, God, are you kidding me? I didn't have to open the phone book. He gave me a name. She called me up. This person needs to be saved. I know that he lives in Bangor. I said, just give me his name. Give me his name. I'll go after. She gave me his name and so on. I went to find out where he lives. I went on a Sunday afternoon, knocked his door, gave him a 20-hour Bible study. He came to church next Sunday. God healed him of all kinds of diseases and stuff. Following week, he came. He got baptized in Jesus' name. When he came out out of the water, as soon as his mouth cleared the water, he was talking the other tongues. The Spirit of God gave the utterance. And you know what? And whenever I saw that, I said, take that, devil. There's another one for you. Take that one, devil. That's an R-not right there. You said I couldn't do it. There's an R-not right there. He wasn't supposed to be here. He is right now. You didn't think I'd ever come into the church. But God gave me a name. And God allowed me to minister to him. And God brought him in. Now, I'm going to tell you. Pastor, if you ever hear somebody say to you this, well, Pastor, that's just the way things are. I pastored before, and I've heard that. You know, that's just the way things are. They'll never change. They'll be just like they are, and they'll always be. That's just the way things are. I want to tell you something. When everybody tells you that, what they're doing, they're letting you know whose side they're on. All right. They're on the R side. Right. That may be the way things are,
But God works with things that are not. And I am not going to keep the status quo. I'm going to change things. Praise God. Another Old Testament example. The devil had an arm member out there. He came and challenged the children of Israel and Saul. You know what it was? Goliath is the biggest and baddest dude in all the land. And the devil was expecting Saul to come out. God said, no, no, no. I got another Arnot guy out here that's going to come out here. Some guy you never heard of. Devil, give me a man, Goliath cried. And out comes this nobody. They said, you shouldn't be out here. You should be home tending the sheep. You're nobody. You should be taking care of the sheep. And David comes out on the scene, an Arnot guy. He's not a giant killer. He's not even in the army. But you know what? David was used to being left out of things. When they came to anoint the next king of Jesse's house, David was out in the field doing the work. They had to go out and bring him in. Amen? But he was the one that came and won the victory, an Arnot team member. Praise God. God is not stuck with any of us. I'm chosen by God to be on his team. You see, the world may not know my name, but when the battle's over, the smoke clears, then they can know. It was an Arnot team member here. And I remember that guy. Praise God. Let's stand. I believe with all my heart that with outside these doors, there are some Arnot families that are not here yet that need to be saved. They're not here yet. But you know what I say? They might not be here, but they're coming. They're coming. They're coming. And when they come through the doors, let's welcome them with open arms. Come on. The Father has chosen you, so I choose you. You know, when I pastor, one of the things I hate worse than all the world was empty seats. I hate to preach empty seats. The Lord gave me a revelation. Each empty seat you see, that's an Arnot member spot.
That's right.
There's an Arnot coming to fill that seat. There's an Arnot coming. So, oh God. So I don't mind empty seats anymore because I know there's an Arnot coming. There's an Arnot coming that could be another missionary. There's an Arnot could be a Sunday school teacher. There's an Arnot coming, the next pastor, next evangelist. You don't know what's going on. Well, I don't see them as empty seats anymore. I see them as Arnot. Praise God. If you're here today, I want you to know without a shadow of doubt, God has chosen you to be here today. And he's chosen you to be on his team, to hear the Lord. Praise God. And so if you're excited and thankful to be on the scene, take a step out and come to this altar. Reach out and worship him. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. Thank you, Jesus, put me on your team. Oh, God, I want to do my best I can. Oh, God, I want to do it all for you, Jesus.
Show me what they can do. Show me.